Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Let us listen for God's word. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received and in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me, whether then it was I or they. So we proclaim, and so you have come to believe.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from Acts chapter 4. Listen for God's word. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of God for the people of God. I'm excited to share an update on the kitchen renovation we've been doing over the last 4 months. Take a look. Doesn't it look great? Can you imagine the cabinets and the countertops, the appliances and the backsplash and the lighting? Isn't it beautiful? Well, now it is. Yeah. It's actually nice and really amazing how close it is to being done. The process has been long, thanks in part to the crazy winter, but we've built something that we love and feels like an expression of who we are and what is most important to us, especially food. The whole process of remodeling our kitchen has reminded me of a commercial I saw a few years ago. Take a look.
This is a classical design we did in Milan.
This is a postmodern residence
this
in
Eastern. This design won 5 prestigious awards.
Shaki headquarters in Kyoto.
To see our architecture, you don't look around the corner, you look around the world.
So, what can I do for you?
Design a house around this.
Today is not about selling Kohler products to you, but it is an opportunity to hear a great line, build a house around this. I mean, that's that phrase. Kohler believes that their products are so great that a whole house could be built around them. And this got me to thinking, around what have we built our own homes? What is the one item in our homes that everything else accentuates? And our church. Around what have we built our church? The Apostle Paul seems to be asking that question in our first reading to the Corinthians. As we've mentioned before, the Corinthian church was a mess. They seem to have forgotten around what their church was supposed to be built, what their church makes noticeable. They suffered from what many might call spiritual amnesia. They had too quickly and easily forgotten the good news that Paul had taught them and that they had received. It was almost like it went in one ear when Paul was around and out the other as soon as he left them. They were committed one minute, and the next they were being the exact opposite of the good news of Jesus Christ. Just look at that famous passage that Tammy preached on during Lent, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, it is often called. Love is patient and kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Why would Paul need to tell them what love is? Because they were doing the exact opposite of being patient and kind. They were choosing instead to be envious, boastful, selfish, and rude. They were building their church around status and reputation instead of the unconditional love of God in Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to remind them of the good news he had proclaimed to them and that they had received. They hadn't simply heard what he said, they had received it. Like coming forward for communion with your hands cupped, ready to receive the gift. Or like a child who is baptized and receives the waters of grace on his or her forehead. The outward act symbolizes what happens inside of us. We, like the Greek word for receive, are saying, I hear what you're saying, and I will join myself to it. To receive the good news as Paul means it here is to say, I'm going to welcome the good news into my life like a companion. We're going to travel together. And this good news is going to shape who I am and what I do along the way. It's going to change me. My life is going to be built around it. Well, just like that Kohler commercial, I think Paul takes a cross, an empty cross, an Easter cross. And he puts it before the Corinthian Christians and he says, build a church around this. You're an Easter people and your job is to build an Easter church around this cross, the center and the foundation of our life together. This is the good news they had received. Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And he appeared. According to Paul, that's the good news around which the Corinthians were called to be a church. In fact, that's the good news around which we're called to be a church, the body of Christ on earth. So what would a church look like that modeled its life and ministry around the good news of Easter, around an empty Easter cross? How would it be different from the world around it? Who would the members of such a church become if the good news of Easter were a daily companion in their life and work, in their ministry and in their mission? What would their hospitality look like, or their love, or their faith? What impact would they have on the community around them and the world at large? How would their generosity support other ministries and send people back into their daily lives to be different and even possibly missionaries in the world? The Corinthians only needed to remember the good news they had received and let it become a companion in order to find out. Our scripture lesson from the book of Acts shows us one such church, the early Christian community that sprung up right after Easter. It shows us what happened to them when they received the good news of Christ's resurrection. It completely changed them. They built an Easter community. I mean, listen to who they were and what they did. They were of one heart and soul. They held their possessions for the common good. They gave their testimonies about the resurrection of Jesus in their own lives. And great grace was upon them all, it says. No one was needy among them because people gave generously for the good of all. They would give their gifts and then they would share them so that with each who had any need. Now notice, We don't get a description of what their church worship services were like, or how their session meetings went, or what their deacons did, or how their food pantry was organized, or what kind of music their choir sang. Instead, at the center of this passage is what the church was built around. The apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. That's what the church was built around, telling their own story of Jesus' new life in them, especially when the people in the church, people like Peter who had denied Jesus, or the disciples who had betrayed and abandoned him, or even Paul who had murdered Christians, and all the rest, when they told their story, how Jesus appeared to them and forgave them and welcomed them and sent them out, is it any wonder that great grace was upon them all? Who wouldn't feel welcome there? Who wouldn't begin to imagine all the ways they could give their testimony to the resurrection and build a church? The testimonies, the singing, the generosity, the forgiveness, the readiness to help those in need, all those things became ways to share God's good news of new life and build a church and ministry around that good news and that lifted up that good news. So how about us in 2018? How are we an Easter church? How does our church accentuate the good news of the resurrection of Jesus? What's our testimony to how God's good news is our companion, offering us new life, second chances, forgiveness, opportunities to share who God is and what God does through us? Our ministry isn't about programs and budgets. It's about people and human dignity and welcome. It can be easy to forget those things sometimes, though, and start thinking that some of us are more important than others, or that our history is more important than our future, or that certain programs just have to happen. But that only happens when we forget that the good news of the resurrection doesn't start with any of that. It starts with us telling our own story of the new life happening in our lives. That's what we received. That's what we're called to pass on to others. And when we do, great grace abounds. The colorful map that you were given when you came in today is a blueprint for building an Easter church that celebrates new life. It represents what the ministry development team heard from us in many conversations last year about our vision and future as a church. It doesn't give us all the answers to how this will happen, but it asks us to make connections between our passions, our ideas, new ministries, and all those things that have to be in place to make them happen. A kitchen could be a place where cooking a meal together for the hungry becomes an intentional form of fellowship. A generator becomes a way for us to be a place of shelter before, during, and after storms. A roof full of solar panels becomes a way to model green to our community in our passion to practice inspirational stewardship. Compelling worship leads us to use new technology to share all the good that happens here with those who can't be among us, as well as possibly those churches that can't afford a pastor. The list of connections is limited only by our own imagination. As I wrote in my newsletter article, at its March meeting, the session took action to hire a person named Tom Norwood of Horizon Stewardship to help us discern how best to move forward in response to this map and God's call to be an Easter church. One of the first steps is to do what he calls a feasibility study, in which Tom will help us assess the levels of commitment to our ministry goals and what we can do as a church to repair, upgrade, and even remodel our facility. I hope that when you're asked to be involved, that you will share your thoughts and your commitment to what we have said is who we are and who and what we want to build. Be looking for information that will be sent out in a couple of weeks, and when you receive it, I hope that most of all, that you and I and all of us will always remember that we are an Easter church, a church built around the good news of new life in Jesus Christ, a church that makes that good news known, a people among whom great grace abounds, all because we've built a church here around us. Because this is our companion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that goes with us through life and ministry together. It's what we've received. Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again for us and this whole world, that we all might know and live this new life Christ brings for all. Amen.